No one can keep a secret forever. Nashville power couple Perry and Janet March seem to have it all.
He was a well-known attorney. She was a talented artist.
Until secrets threaten to shatter their storybook world.
It was just secrets on top of secrets on top of secrets.
When you lie every day, every week, every month, every year, you become very good at it.
But deceit is one thing, killing is another.
Love and betrayal, murder, it's all true. But truth is stranger than fiction in this case.
Soon, every dirty little secret will be revealed. It's the summer of 1996 in the suburbs of Nashville, Tennessee. And Perry and Janet March are the envy of the neighborhood.
They were an affluent couple, well-liked in the community, well-liked in their social circles.
Perry's a hotshot attorney on the partner track at his father-in-law's firm.
Perry was at probably the most prestigious firm in Tennessee. He got plum assignments. He was well-liked at the firm. He was legitimately a very successful, very capable young lawyer with good instincts and good judgment, the type of person every law firm would like to recruit.
Perry's gaining a reputation for being tenacious, driven, and focused. Whether he's arguing a high-stakes corporate case or taking on pro bono causes for the community.
The only thing they're going to need a judge for is to agree to it.
He was very aggressive and fought for his clients. He would stop at nothing to win the case.
I will make certain that you don't go to jail.
Besides being a mother, Perry's wife, Janet, has a burgeoning career of her own.
She was beautiful, talented, an artist, and her career was just taking off. And everybody said that she was a wonderful mother, very nurturing and sweet.
Friends say Perry and Janet are a perfect case of opposites attracting.
She was the artistic, dreamy, sweet, lovely, you know, beautiful young woman from a lovely family. And Perry was this up-and-coming, hard-driving, romantic, thoughtful young man. It was a match made in heaven.
And together, the Marches are flourishing. They've just moved into a million-dollar dream home designed by Janet herself.
Janet oversaw every inch of the house being created, and that was sort of her masterpiece.
The Marches are quickly climbing Nashville's social ladder and seem set for an affluent life of ease. But all their plans are about to be dashed.
How could you lie to me?
And no one would have ever imagined the secrets and lies that will soon be revealed.
I need you to change. I need something different.
August 15th, 1996. There's trouble in paradise. Janet and Perry get into a screaming match about Perry spending too much time at work and neglecting his family.
Yes, I need you here. You're never here.
The arguing gets pretty heated, and in the middle of it, Janet storms out without saying where she's going.
Janet had just packed a couple of bags and left, said she was taking some time off.
Once he calms down,
Carolyn?
Perry calls his in-laws, Larry and Carolyn Levine, to ask if they know where their daughter has gone.
We argued, she packed a bag and she left.
They say they haven't heard from Janet, but they tell their son-in-law not to worry.
Just relax, she's done this before.
Their daughter's always been impulsive and temperamental. She's probably taking some time to cool off and will be back before morning.
Well, I know, she just needs a little bit of space.
They had told Perry, don't worry, she'll come back. She just left because of the argument.
It wasn't outside the realm of possibility. She might just go somewhere and stay in a hotel or do something just to get away to clear her head for a while.
But Perry doesn't think so. He tells his in-laws that Janet said she needed a serious break from him and the kids, and was going on a two-week vacation.
Still, they said to him, Perry, she'll be back. She'll come back.
But 2 weeks pass, and Janet doesn't return or check in with her family. And when she misses the party she'd been planning for her son's birthday, it becomes clear something is terribly wrong.
She'd already sent out invitations and that kind of thing. So she missed that, and the type of mother that we knew Janet was, that she would not have missed a large birthday party.
Janet's friends and family know her to be scatterbrained at times, but not when it comes to her kids.
There clearly was a perception that somewhere in Janet's loving, artistic nature was also kind of a flighty, airhead, never know what she'll do next kind of behavior.
Her friends said, well, yes, she's a little flighty sometimes, but she's always on the ball where her children are concerned.
Any mother, regardless of how they feel about their husband, is not going to miss a birthday party that they'd already planned. Something wasn't right there.
And then meanwhile, school got started. So you also had the first day of school. See, it's two life events happening within this window that Janet didn't show up for, didn't call in for, didn't check in for.
Janet's husband is now convinced something horrible has happened. Perry turns to the police and reports his wife missing.
When she missed our son's birthday, that's when I really got nervous.
The mother of his two children has disappeared, he says. Investigators try to track Janet down through her credit card activity, but they find out that she hasn't used her plastic in weeks. Wherever she is, she must be living off cash.
Police rightfully ran all the normal checks you go through when you have a missing person's case. Had she used this passport? Was there any activity on her credit cards? There was no activity in any way, shape, or form.
When police check with the airlines, they find no record of her boarding any flight. Nor has anyone matching Janet's description shown up at any hospitals or morgues. It seems Janet March has vanished into thin air.
She just dropped off the face of the earth. Led us to believe it was more than just a missing persons case.
Police start digging into the life of the missing artist and mother. And as they question Janet's closest friends, they discover that she has a secret. Despite her outward appearance of living a dream life, Janet's been depressed lately. The argument with Perry that apparently caused her to storm out seems to be only the tip of the iceberg. Her marriage was in deep trouble.
Yes. Have you been home before 10 p.m. this week?
I've been working. You know that I work.
You're never around.
It was a very good marriage initially. They were the old American family. I mean, they had good times. But then the last 2 to 3 years prior to her disappearance, things began to get rough for Janet.
I get it. You're not satisfied.
She was beginning to feel he put his career in front of his wife and his two children.
I don't think she felt he was being a proper husband and a father because he was kind of neglecting her and not being a loving husband. He seemed to be focused mostly on himself and not paying enough attention to the family. They were definitely having problems.
Someone even mentions the possibility that Janet's considering divorce.
The maid who cleaned their home said she saw a book on Janet's bedside table about divorce. And so a more clear and honest image emerged of a troubled marriage.
If the March's marriage is really in serious trouble, then investigators must consider the possibility that Janet wants to be missing. Could she have vanished on purpose? And if that's the case, where has she gone? The answer could be much steamier than anyone expects.
You had sex. You had money.
Where does all the money go?
If you wrote it as fiction, it would basically be hard to believe.
More than 2 weeks after Janet March disappeared, investigators have learned that the young wife and mother was woefully unhappy in her marriage.
I'm working, all right?
I can't do this anymore.
If Janet was deeply unsatisfied at home and contemplating divorce, then maybe she didn't run away alone.
It was thrown out there that, well, maybe she was having an affair.
When people go missing, the police have certain things to investigate, such as, was there a lover involved? They look at the fact that their marriage was obviously having some problems. That was one of the things that probably made them, from the very beginning, suspect that there was someone else.
Has Janet left Perry for a secret lover? If it's true, there are rumors who her mystery man could be.
There were a lot of construction workers, contractors, and subcontractors at the house in the months before the disappearance. And a lot of them thought that she was a hot babe and they really liked working for her because, you know, she was a really, really attractive young woman.
If Janet was feeling neglected by Perry, perhaps she sought comfort in the arms of one of the workers.
We had one contractor, I think, that had made some statements that he was attracted to Janet. She's a very attractive woman.
They had to investigate every option. One of the options was, did one of the hot young construction workers run off with Janet?
Police decide it's time to have a frank conversation with Perry about the state of his marriage.
Why don't you tell us about the last time that you saw her? What did you talk about?
Well, we had argued. She felt that I wasn't doing enough around the house.
Perry admits Janet's been very unhappy with him lately.
Do you have to be gone all the time?
She was putting a lot of demands on Perry to start taking care of the children because he wasn't doing his fair share.
But Perry denies they're contemplating divorce. In fact, he says he's taken steps to be more attentive and get their marriage back on track.
He said that they were seeing a marriage counselor. They were committed to the marriage. They wanted to make it work out. He loved her deeply. He misses her terribly.
Perry refuses to believe Janet's left him for a lover. And as proof that she hasn't left him for someone else, he shows detectives a list of chores Janet expected him to do while she's away.
And she gave you that before she left?
Yes. I mean, I got everything done on the list. I thought that she would be back by now.
He says she demanded he sign it before she left.
Janet told him, I'm leaving for 2 weeks. You do some of these things that I have to do, pay the bills, and clean your closet, feed the children, things she basically had nagged him about.
It was small things that men tend to neglect when they're preoccupied with their job or with other things. And she was leaving him to accomplish the task on this list and have it all done when she returns.
But something doesn't feel right to investigators. The typed list doesn't fit with what they know about Janet's artistic personality. And if Janet's run off with a lover, the state of her marriage must be worse than Perry's letting on. Police continue their search and soon turn up a surprising lead. One that seems to support the affair theory. Janet's car is found in the parking lot of a local apartment complex. Could this be where she met a lover before leaving on vacation?
We found a car in an apartment complex in the West Nashville area, which really wasn't that far from where they lived. And from all indications, it appeared to have been there the entire time.
But police see no sign of Janet. And when they search her car, they make a discovery that forces them to rethink things. Janet's suitcase is still in the car.
Our shoes are in the car. Her pocketbook was in the car, passport, some clothes that had been hastily packed.
But the way the bag is packed only adds to detective suspicions.
It had not been packed by someone planning to go on a 12-day vacation. There wasn't enough stuff in her bag. There was also no essential toiletries. There wasn't the sort of thing that any woman going for 12 days would take with them.
And if Janet had been going on vacation, why is the suitcase still in the car? Investigators turn to Janet's parents, Larry and Carolyn Levine. Do they know anything more that might help police locate Janet?
Mr. and Mrs. Levine, do you have any idea what reason she might have had to have gone on an extended vacation?
Frantic with worry, they reluctantly confirm a sad truth.
Yes, it was.
Their daughter's marriage hasn't been right for a long time.
Which just seemed really weird.
And they say the truth about Janet's home life is much worse than police know. And they've held their tongues long enough.
I do not trust what went on over there.
What they reveal next will shock investigators and ignite a vicious feud.
When you lie every day, every week, every month, every year, you become very good at it.
Larry and Carolyn Levine are convinced their daughter Janet's disappearance is connected to secret problems in her marriage to powerful lawyer Perry March. They tell police that despite paying Perry an excellent salary at the family firm, Janet has been saying their bank account is always running low. It's strange considering Perry's high salary.
It became clear that one of the big issues in their marriage was money.
There's enough to get by, right?
I'm not an idiot. I know how much you make.
The money wasn't coming in the way Janet wanted to come in, that the bills weren't getting paid, that there was clearly financial stresses in those households, and those financial stresses were playing themselves out in terms of unpleasantness between the husband and the wife.
We don't know where the money's going. She doesn't know where the money's going.
Janet's parents reveal their own secret to police. They're the ones who paid Perry's way through law school, and they're the ones who put up the down payment on his new dream home.
Perry had a lot of perks, being the Levine's son-in-law and working for the Levines.
Everything's in order. We're all set for litigation.
Okay. The Levines were generous with him, and their generosity certainly enabled him to have a lifestyle that he might not have had otherwise.
I think they did it out of love and having the means and trying to help a young couple get started in life.
But even after receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars in financial support, Perry's still habitually late paying their bills. Janet never understood where all their money was going.
We're barely paying the bills.
Well, what do you think I've been doing that whole time?
He would tell her that he paid certain bills when, in fact, he had not paid those bills. He had been lying to her, and she was upset about that.
I don't know what to do.
The Levines tell police that while Janet was growing more and more concerned, Perry was becoming increasingly hostile toward their daughter.
I'm not even sure the kids are safe.
He would openly berate her in front of them.
Janet, I tell you what, I go and I work every day. You just get to do whatever it is that you want. You paint all day.
Perry did not always treat Janet well. He was demeaning to her. He put her down.
You make children's books.
He was one of those people who got his kicks and got his own confidence by making her feel bad. You really did have a temper, so it was believable that they could get in an argument and it might turn physical.
But when the Levines hear the rumor their daughter may have run off by choice with a lover, they're incensed by the suggestion.
Absolutely not. No.
If anyone's having an affair, they say, it's Perry.
Yeah. He's having an affair.
That He's been spending so much time away from home lately that Janet was convinced he's been cheating on her.
Sometimes I don't see you for days. I want you to explain that to me.
They start clamoring for police to take a closer look at their son-in-law. And when investigators start asking around in town, they turn up some dirt that paints a very different picture of Perry March from the one they know.
It was widely rumored that Perry was involved in one or more affairs.
It did come up that Perry was living a secret life. He was seen with various women around town.
In the days before Janet vanished, Perry spent 5 nights at a hotel. And he may not have been alone. He was seen with a blonde one night and a brunette the next. And neither was Janet.
He had been involved with women, you know, as far as how many, and as far as the extent of their relationship, I'm not really sure.
He was staying away for 2 and 3 nights. Did he have another situation going on? Was that an extramarital affair? We don't know that for certain, but certainly wouldn't have surprised us.
Is all of Perry's money being spent on multiple mistresses? And if the Levines are right about Perry's infidelities, what else is he hiding? Police soon discover Perry's nighttime escapades aren't the only sign he's got a dark side. In the past, he's reportedly had a vicious temper. There's even a rumor he assaulted a girlfriend back in college. And he also has an intense obsession with pumping iron.
He's tough, he's strong. He did 2-hour workouts, letting out his aggression, you know, letting those muscles, you know, do what they do best.
What's more, detectives discover that Perry's skilled in a deadly martial art.
Perry took karate and became quite good at it. He became a black belt. So he did not only have a temper, and not only was he controlling, but he also knew karate.
If Janet had confronted Perry about his nights at the hotel and threatened to leave him, could it have triggered a lethal outburst?
I can't do this anymore.
That would obviously be significant if he had got into a physical altercation with Janet.
Yeah, it's your turn. Come on, beat me up. I did something wrong.
Where he could have probably used certain techniques he'd learned to kill her.
Police decide it's time to bring Perry March in for questioning.
Your story does not add up.
And he admits to checking into the hotels.
Sometimes I have to stay in hotels because I work late and sometimes I'm away from home.
But he denies having affairs. He says Janet told him to go there so she could have the house to herself.
They've been having problems and she requested that he stay at the home for a while, so he was staying in a hotel.
Still, he insists he's a good husband and that he and Janet are working through their problems. He doesn't want to believe it, but maybe she really did run off with a contractor.
Maybe she found someone else.
As for the Levines' accusation that he had something to do with Janet's disappearance, Perry's livid.
I didn't do anything wrong.
He says his in-laws have never thought he was good enough for their daughter. And now that she's apparently left him, they're just trying to smear his reputation by turning her disappearance into a witch hunt. Police are stymied, They can find no evidence that Perry's lying or of foul play.
There was no body. There was no blood. There was no murder weapon. There was no evidence that she was even dead.
He kind of played down any issue that we thought to be substantial. He would say, really, it was just no different than any other marriage, really.
But police are convinced there's still a secret that hasn't been revealed. And that uncovering the source of the March's money troubles will unlock the case. But investigators have no idea they're about to tap into a shocking secret passion. An expensive sexual obsession becomes a costly liability.
You know, creamy thighs and hours of oral sex, very graphic language.
Detectives are desperate to find missing wife, Janet March. They begin digging into her husband Perry March's past for clues. And when they look into his previous employment, they uncover a startling secret. Five years ago, before Perry worked for his father-in-law, he was an associate at a different law firm. But that job ended abruptly, and when police find out why, they're stunned. Perry had been forced to resign because of a sexual harassment complaint.
Wow, you look very nice.
He had made some sexual advances toward a female employee of the firm.
He became infatuated with a paralegal. And he began to leave her notes, and she was appalled.
It turns out Perry wrote a series of sexually explicit letters to this young, attractive paralegal, hoping to coax her into having an affair. He ran on for pages about how married life made for boring sex, so they should start having sizzling encounters of their own.
He started trying to get her to have an affair and telling all types of different things he'd like to do to her, very sexually explicit letters.
The pure animal sexiness of your body grips me, Perry wrote, elaborating on his lurid fantasies in explicit detail.
They were part sick schoolboy and part porn. He would get very graphic and talk about what he'd like to do. He just went over and over about how you occupy my mind all the time.
Very graphic language, creamy thighs and hours of oral sex, and very descriptive, flowery language of what he wanted to do with this paralegal.
It's so bizarre. It's kind of hard to understand what his thought process was, why he would do something like that. He was apparently thinking she was going to really be intrigued by these letters, possibly, and maybe have some sort of a rendezvous.
Instead, the young woman reported the letters to her bosses, and Perry was quickly shown the door. But Perry didn't just lose his job. In exchange for avoiding a sexual harassment lawsuit and keeping the matter quiet, Perry had to pay the paralegal close to $25,000.
They would not prosecute, but he had to pay the paralegal, and they kept it a secret. To bring that out would have not been what the paralegal wanted. She was embarrassed by it all, and the firm would have been embarrassed.
The settlement was so secret, not even Perry's father-in-law knew about it when Perry asked him for a new job.
Of course, Perry didn't tell his wife any of this. He didn't tell her that he'd been fired because he was writing inappropriate letters. He didn't tell her that he'd been sued by the woman for sexual harassment. He didn't tell her that he settled out of court.
But when police interview the paralegal, she tells them that the story doesn't end there.
He still owes me more than $12,000.
5 years after the settlement, Perry hasn't paid up.
He was supposed to pay the paralegal $25,000. He had paid half of it, and the balloon payment was coming up, $12,500, and that's when all of this came to a head.
She tells police that Perry recently wrote her another letter. But this time, it was anything but sexual. Perry wrote her to say he was having trouble coming up with the cash.
He was kind of up against it financially at the time, and he just couldn't make the payment.
Perry had missed this deadline for paying the next $12,500 to the paralegal. And he said, I need some more time. I'm good for the money, but I need to push the deadline back a little bit.
When detectives realized that Perry wrote this letter just 2 days before Janet disappeared, they develop a grim new theory about what may have happened to Janet March. Perhaps her curiosity about their finances led her to discover her husband's dirty little secret.
I'm not an idiot! Don't lie to me!
They suspect she and Perry argued, as he says they did, but over something much more serious than a run-of-the-mill domestic dispute.
I don't know how we can continue.
If Janet had discovered Perry's letter and the truth about where their money was going, it could have been the last straw in an already strained marriage.
A reasonable theory looks like this. She had learned that Perry had promised to pay another woman $12,500 to get out of the sexual harassment lawsuit, and that she said, I want a divorce. I'm done here.
Lied about it.
It's just inescapable.
You know, a
person can't make a mistake.
Why don't you defend me?
This marriage is built on nothing but secrets and lies.
If Janet had threatened to finally expose his secret, divorce him, and even worse, have her father fire him and cut him off financially, it could have sent Perry off the deep end. Police suspect that it went like this. On the verge of losing everything, his wife, his career, and with them his status and respect in the community, the black belt snapped and murdered his wife.
It just escalated when she found the letter, and then he knew the marriage was over and that he was going to lose everything, and he just reacted.
Although they have no proof, police confront Perry with their suspicions. But he tells police that Janet knew about the lawsuit and had forgiven him long ago.
She knew all about the paralegal. We'd moved past that.
Once again, he insists he had nothing to do with his wife's disappearance.
Did you kill your wife?
No. No. And no.
And investigators have no physical evidence that suggests otherwise. No murder weapon, no body, no blood, no proof Janet is even dead. Perry says that's because there's been no murder.
We weren't getting any cooperation from Perry. He was resistant on everything we did, which led us to believe there's more to the story, but you gotta go with the evidence.
With no other leads, the case stagnates. The investigation drags on for months, then years, but police get no breaks.
I think we became frustrated a few times after, you know, year three, year four, year five. You know, it became a little bit frustrating to say, look, you know, everything indicates that Perry did something with Janet, but we can't get to that next level.
9 long years go by. Janet March is never found. After so much time missing, police are now certain she's dead. But they're no closer to bringing the man they believe to be her killer to justice. What police don't know is that they're about to get some unexpected help from the wrong side of the law.
So we wanted him out of the way. That's where I come in.
He was just secrets on top of secrets on top of secrets under some absolutely bizarre and dysfunctional circumstances.
Nine years have passed since Janet March vanished without a trace. Police remain convinced her husband, Perry, killed her and hid her body. But with zero evidence, the case against him is at a standstill.
A lot of people presumed that Perry had gotten away with murder. I think that was sort of the conventional wisdom on the street in Nashville, is that he did it, but he did it cleverly enough, and the cops just weren't smart enough to pin him down for the murder.
And the longer time went by, the stronger the inference was that she was deceased and she hadn't just gone off somewhere. And, you know, we just kept working the case and working the case, hoping to get a break.
Perry's in-laws, Larry and Carolyn Levine, are also convinced that their son-in-law has murdered their daughter and have refused to let the case die.
I know in my gut you had something to do with this.
They were tenacious, they were determined, they believed Perry was a murderer, and they were going to get justice for Janet.
But if he's guilty, Perry March seems to have outsmarted law enforcement at every turn. He appears to have gotten away with murder. But after almost 10 years, investigators are about to get a tip that breaks their cold case wide open. In 2005, police arrest a small-time criminal who says he has something big to trade for a reduced sentence. He tells police someone wants to pay him to commit two murders. But his targets aren't just anyone. He's been hired to kill Janet March's parents, Larry and Carolyn Levine. He tells police the mastermind behind the murder conspiracy is none other than the man everyone believes has already gotten away with murder, Perry March.
He wanted to get his in-laws out of the way, you know, because they've been giving him a hard time. He just wanted them gone.
He said, look, the guy wants to hire me to kill his mother and father-in-law. If I help you guys out here, will you give me some consideration of my case? And the cops were all over it because they're less interested in the petty common criminal than they are in Perry March.
According to the hitman, Perry's sick and tired of the Levines constantly hounding him.
I don't want to have to face these people ever again.
He fears that as long as they remain alive, police will never stop pursuing him over their daughter's disappearance. So he's decided it's high time they were taken out.
Carolyn, you are venturing very close to never seeing your grandchildren again.
His theory was the case would go away if they were killed, that they were key witnesses against him. In his mind, he probably thought they were putting pressure on us to prosecute the case, and maybe it would go away if they were dead.
It became an all-consuming obsession with him to find someone to kill his mother and father-in-law so that he could get away with murdering his wife.
Listen, I think you can really help us out here.
The hitman tells police he's supposed to coordinate the job with Perry's father, Arthur, and in return, Arthur will set the hitman up with a new life in Mexico.
Arthur was a gruff, old man. I think he had been through a lot more in his lifetime than Perry. He was a tough guy.
If the hitman is telling the truth, this could be the break investigators have been waiting for close to a decade. But there are no guarantees.
We get a lot of information from inmates. A lot of times it's not true, sometimes it is true. But the only way you can determine whether it's true in this particular case, we asked him, are you willing to wear a wire? And he agreed. He was instructed to contact Arthur March.
police listen in as the wired-up thug makes contact with Perry March's father. And they're about to be blown away by what they hear.
Within 5 minutes of the first conversation, they were discussing killing the Levines.
You can be set up with a place to live, plenty of money. You can start a whole new life.
He was very specific about how to kill the Levines and the address and everything else.
You know the location, right? You know the targets.
Yes.
Police finally have the evidence they need. They arrest Arthur March for plotting to murder the Levines. When faced with the possibility of spending the rest of his life in prison,
what do you need to know?
Arthur March quickly agrees to tell police what they've been waiting a decade to hear. What really happened to his daughter-in-law, Janet March? Arthur says Janet is dead. And Perry, he admits, is the one who killed her.
Arthur didn't want to spend the rest of his life in jail. So Arthur then cuts a deal with the cops. He goes to the cops and he said, guess what? Perry did murder Janet.
Arthur tells police he knows this because once she was dead, his son called him in a panic.
I need your help, Dad. I need your help real bad.
Just calm down, calm down.
Dad, Janet's dead.
Perry.
He just basically said there was an argument and Perry had struck her and killed her.
I need you to get over here as fast as you can, okay?
He was able to say, I saw the body, Janet March was dead. Perry told me he did it. I helped him destroy evidence.
Arthur March says the motive for the murder was just what police had believed all along. His son's wife had discovered his secret about the paralegal and confronted him.
I'm not an idiot. I know what's going on. I know how much you make.
She had learned that Perry had promised to pay another woman $12,500 to get out of the sexual harassment lawsuit, and that she said, I want a divorce. I'm done here.
I can't do this anymore.
Oh, is that what's in there? He had a $12,000 payment that he couldn't pay. His wife was at the end of her rope with him, going to see an attorney. He was getting ready to lose his entire lifestyle. So all those secrets would be exposed, and he was willing to kill for those.
Arthur says he helped Perry dump Janet's body in an abandoned lot. But after so many years, police are unable to find her remains. Even so, between the hitman's wiretap and Arthur March's confession, they still have more than enough to finally indict Perry March for his wife's murder. In exchange for testifying against his son, Arthur March is sentenced to 5 years in prison. But he dies in jail within the year. Perry March is convicted of second-degree murder and is sentenced to 56 years in prison.
Perry thought he was above the law. He felt like because of his legal knowledge and where he was in Nashville society, he could do whatever he wanted to. But no matter what your financial status or your status in society is, you can't commit a murder and get away with it.
Janet March thought she'd found the perfect partner to build a life with. But she didn't realize how deadly deceit could be until it was too late.
Perry was supposed to be the one to protect Janet and the children. He was supposed to be their protector, and this was just the ultimate betrayal.